Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Here we are in the Thursday edition of Connecting Faith. Great to have you tuned in. I'm Neil Stavem. I always enjoy the opportunity to get together with you. Ted Ross at the controls and Carissa's at the phones. And Ted, we're just talking here during the newscast, talking about Billy Graham turning 96. That, you know, if they could say about me, eating well and still in his right mind, I'd go for that today, probably.
Yeah, right? That's right. Every day's a gift,
sure.
Right?
So not until we get the 96. Yeah, that's amazing, though. What a legacy. So we're going to talk a little bit about kind of legacy issues today. And for those, particularly moms, that are right in the middle of it, sometimes it's kind of hard to see that, take that long-term view. It's like, wow, just... fighting it day by day, minute by minute.
Well, everybody says, even to us now, our daughters are 13 and almost 12 here, and they say, it's going to go by so quick, they'll be out of the house before you know it. And there are days where we're both like, really?
Yeah.
It seems
this is a long way
away.
Yeah, that's right. I could use it to move it a little faster, maybe. Huh?
So, some days.
So does your wife have some fear and anxiety once in a while, just sort of about her... role as a parent, as a mom?
Yeah, I think a healthy fear and anxiety, it shows that you care, I think, So we're thinking about in these teen years and everything, stuff we talk about often on the show here, just equipping parents for raising your kids right, and whether it's not getting into drug addiction or relationships, dating, all that. There's a healthy fear there, but then that becomes your prayer list, I think, right?
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about brave moms today and those that... maybe it can learn to face and overcome your real mom fears. That's the subtitle, Facing and Overcoming Your Real Mom Fears. The book, Brave Mom, is written by our guest today, and we're looking forward to getting her on the program with us. Sherry Surratt is the president and the CEO of MOPS International, and she passionately pursues her love of moms and mom leaders every day. Before coming to MOPS, was at the Leadership Network, where she was able to research and come alongside some of the nation's most influential women leaders. She's authored the book Just Lead, a No-Nonsense Practical Guide for Women Leaders in the Church, A Beautiful Mess, Motherhood for Every Moment, which moms are relating to, and A Brave Mom, Facing and Overcoming Your Real Mom Fears. She's the proud mom of two adult children and has a couple of grandchildren as well, and we're honored to have Sherry Surratt with us today on Connecting Faith. Hi, Sherry. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great today. It's great to be here.
We got our grandkid conversation done before the show, so we can move on. But anytime if you want to sort of just start talking about your grandkids, I'll jump in and add my voice too. So.
Well, that's always the prerogative of a proud grandma, and we enjoy our granddaughters. Maggie Claire is 4. Molly Rose is 1.5, and they truly are just a delicious part of life. In fact, it kind of makes you wonder, why didn't we just jump there first and have those grandkids right off the bat?
It is a whole different level, and although I'm sure there's probably a few grandmom fears too, and we'll get into that. But say a word first about the brave mom and the real fears, because I know some of this came out of your research through MOPS International, right?
Yeah, it really did. And we have access to about 100,000 moms, young moms, to just ask lots of questions. And that's the great thing about young moms is when you ask a question, they will share. And we just threw that question out there. What keeps you up at night? What do you worry about the most and why? And they just shared fantastic stories with us, just real raw stories about the things that they worried about. We compiled the research and we came up with the top 5 fears that young moms today worry about. And not surprisingly, the first one is young moms worry about not being enough. And they kind of broke that down for us into they worry about not having the parenting skills that are needed. When their child has a tantrum or when their child is sick, will they know what to do? Will they have the practical skills in how to face the daily things that come up with their children? They also said they worry about having enough money and enough resources. Life today is very expensive, and they worry about being able to provide the things that their child not only needs but wants. And looking ahead, will they have enough money to be able to provide college and the other resources that their child will need as they get older? And they also worry about their own emotional resilience. Will they have what it takes to be able to not crumble emotionally as a mom? So moms know that there are tough days ahead as a mom, and they worry about themselves. Will they get depressed? Will they be so overcome with fear that they just won't be able to handle things? So that was the top fear, worrying about not being enough.
Wow, those are really, you can see where people would kind of latch onto those and really have to work through those. I mean, those, I guess no matter what age you are in the mom journey, that those could certainly be the case. I'm interested, we're kind of talking about grandkids and mm-hmm. wondering if these fears or concerns are the same as, say, maybe when your kids were younger, or maybe even, decades before that. How has it maybe changed today?
I think it has changed just a little bit. When my children were little, and I didn't worry so much about myself. I worried a little bit more about them. Would they get hurt? Would they get in a situation where they wouldn't know what to do? Would they face peer pressure, those kinds of things? And moms today of young children still worry about those things. In fact, the number two fear that moms identified is stranger danger. And I think that's different from when my children were little. I didn't worry so much about that. But I think today it's different, because when something happens, when our children are abducted, that's all over the news. And one thing that I like to share with moms is the reason that it's all over the news. Of course, it's horrible, and we don't ever want that to happen to any child. But it's also very rare. The chances of your child being abducted by someone else, those incidences have gone down over the past few years. In fact, it's extremely rare that your child would be snatched by somebody else when you're out in public. You still, of course, need to be wise and be careful who your children are with. But that is a danger that has really changed over the years. I don't remember wasting a whole lot of time on that when my kids were little. And talked with my mom, and she felt the same way. But that's something where our news media has really impacted that. And moms today really do worry about themselves. Are they going to be a good enough mom? And I think that's different because they have more pressure. Moms really look at each other, compare themselves to each other, and many times find themselves coming up lacking. And I think that is a little bit even a bigger pressure today than it was when my kids were little.
Good insight today from Sherry Surratt. She's the president and CEO of MOPS International. We're talking about Brave Mom, Facing and Overcoming Your Real Mom Fears. And it's a great new resource from Zondervan. By the way, we've got four copies to give away, and we would love to get one of these in your hands. Or maybe if you're a grandma, you've got a daughter that you know, or maybe a daughter-in-law that could really benefit from this, we'd love to have you just join in the conversation. And maybe you have some of those fears and you'd like to just talk with Sherry about it. You're welcome to join the conversation at 877-93-FAITH, 877-93-FAITH. I'm interested, I guess, Sherry, before we take a little break, how do we distinguish between parental concern, things like health and safety and, some of the things you talk about, and worry? I mean, at what point does it sort of become a fear and a worry and as opposed to just being a healthy concern?
Yeah, that's a great question. And obviously, there are real dangers out there. And as a mom, we need to do what we can. We need to do our research. We need to find out those things that we practically can do that keep our children safe. And, we need to mitigate those things that are dangerous to our children as much as possible. But, when it crosses the line, when we are conjuring up things in our own minds as moms, when we are making ourselves sick, when we are waking up in the middle of the night and causing ourselves to lose sleep with our worry, that's when it's crossed the line over into worry. You know, we coach moms at MOPS to do what you can. Of course, when your child is in the car, make sure they're in their car seat and they're buckled up with their seat belts. And make sure that you do pay attention to who their friends are and who they're encountering during the day. But to waste time in needless worry is truly that. It's a waste of time, especially about things that you can't control. And, you know, the research is really interesting because it says 97% of what we worry about never happens. And we need to remind ourselves of that as moms, in that doing what you can to do for your child to keep them safe is very, very smart. But after that, after you've done all that you can, you need to let it go. And, you know, self-talk there is very important. When you find yourself spending a ton of time worrying about what could be, worrying about what might happen, you need to get yourself firmly in hand and really remind yourself, you know what, I've done all I can, and now I need to remind myself that my kids truly belong to the Lord and that He loves them even more than I do.
Good advice. We'll get more in just a moment from Sherry Surratt, and we'd love to have you join the conversation. We're talking a brave mom today, facing and overcoming your real mom fears. Got some copies of the book to give away, and I'd love to have you join the conversation. You just share a story or experience for you, or maybe there's been a verse or situation that has particularly helped you, or maybe you're in a MOPS group, and you'd like to just thank Sherry for that great ministry organization. Give us a call at 877-93-FAITH. That's the phone number, 877-933-2484. Or you can always connect with us online. If you go to myfaithradio.com, and you can click on the Connecting Faith show page, and there's an email link there. So if that's more convenient, you want to just shoot us a note that way, or you can register for one of the books as well. We'll do a drawing at the end of the hour. Again, four copies of Brave Mom to give away. Talk some wise parenting advice coming up here yet this hour here on Connecting Faith. Stay tuned. Kind of crazy today, isn't it? Talking about life. How do we navigate life today and to be brave, not to be anxious or waste time worrying, as Sherry Surratt has talked to us about already today. We're talking about her book, Brave Mom, Facing and Overcoming Your Real Mom Fears. Got some copies to give away and love to put one in your hands to just encourage you or someone that you know and care about who's being a great mom or maybe worrying a bit. 877-93-FAITH is the phone number, 877-933-2484. And Sherry is the president and CEO of MOPS International. And Sherry, maybe just take a minute or two. Talk about what MOPS is for people that don't know. It's not you're not giving cleaning tips, although you probably have a couple, right? But
you know, I get that question a lot, especially from husbands who will say, are you a cleaning company? And no, we're not. We really don't build mops here at MOPS. MOPS stands for Mothers of Preschoolers. And it was an organization that started 40 years ago here in the Denver, Colorado area by some older moms who noticed on their street that there were young moms who had moved away from their own mothers and were struggling with parenting and were very isolated. And so these older moms decided to invite these younger moms into their homes for coffee. And they realized really quickly, you know what, these moms need somebody to talk to. Not only do they need older moms in their lives, but they need each other. They need to be able to come together and just share the things that they're facing and the things that they do worry about and share practical parenting tips, as well as, you know what, they need Jesus in their lives. And that's really what MOPS is founded on. It's the principle that young moms do need each other and they do need to gather together. We have some research with Barna that we did a while back that showed that the mom's top needs are friendship, and they need encouragement, and they need some practical parenting skills, but they also need someone to introduce them to the God who loves them best, and that's really what MOPS does. And I talk with pastors a lot how that if you don't have a MOPS group at your church, you're really missing out on the very best opportunity to open your doors to the young families in your community who aren't yet thinking about you. But when you provide the opportunity for them to come and make friends and to become a better mom and to meet Jesus, then they will be interested in your church.
And what's the web address? Just
MOPS.org. MOPS.org. And if you are a mom of any age and stage and you would like to talk with us about starting a MOPS group, we will help you. That's one of the great things about MOPS that many people don't realize is we provide really everything you need to provide a great group. We provide curriculum. We provide leadership training for the young mom leader who will lead the group. And if you're an older mom and you're thinking to yourself, you know what, I'm not a mom of preschoolers, but I do know young moms who really need to be in a MOPS group, we can help you in taking those first steps and getting a MOPS group started at your church.
MOPS Internet, MOPS, MOPS.org, place to check out. Mm-hmm. Sherry Surratt, president and CEO of MOPS International and author of the new book called Brave Mom, Facing and Overcoming Your Real Mom Fears. You know, it does seem, Sherry, you talked about, you know, a lot of pressure on moms today, but it does seem like our society is probably not helping. We, we've got the phrase helicopter parents, but on the other side, it seems like we're expecting parents to just be constantly giving attention. I mean, you know, we hear reports occasionally about a mom who leaves maybe her adolescent kids in the car for 10 minutes. It's not too hot, and they're older kids, but they get reported to the police or something. It's easy to criticize, it seems. And so talk a little bit about that pressure aspect of being a mom today.
Yeah, you know, being a mom today means you are under pressure. I was just talking with a young group of moms who utilize Pinterest, one of the social media sites that is really kind of picture-oriented. When someone has a great idea or a recipe or a craft idea, they'll take a picture of it and put it up on Pinterest. And moms look at that, and there is something now officially that moms are going and talking to doctors about, and it's called Pinterest anxiety. So the pressure that they get from looking at these pictures on Pinterest causes such anxiety, and it causes them to feel like, oh, I should be doing that, and I'm not doing that, and, oh, I'm not a good enough craft person or not a good enough cook, that it causes anxiety. And, you know, that really bleeds over into our life in general. We, with social media and the access that we have to all the things that other people are doing, it causes us to look at ourselves and we feel like we're not enough. That's one of the big concepts that we talk about in the book. And as a mom, it's very easy for you to look at someone else's children or someone else's house or the young mom down the street who looks like she has it all together and has a career and is doing this, and it makes you feel like, oh, I am not enough, and that is just incredible pressure. And what we encourage moms to do, first of all, is don't do mom alone. The job of mom is incredibly important. Whether you are a stay-at-home mom or whether you're a mom who does work outside the home as well, your job as a mom is incredibly important, and you need to connect with other moms, with other reasonable voices who understand you and who can kind of help you come back down to reality about really what does it mean to be a good mom. And here's something else we share with moms is there is no perfect to achieve. There is no such thing as the perfect mom. You need to be who God called you to be, and you need to be you as a mom, and you need to take time to realize, who am I and what is it that I do best? And you lean into that. And you really do need to get your eyes off of other moms and stop the comparing.
So how do we go about building mentors or understanding friends into our lives? And what does that look like? Is there a process to go through?
Yeah, well, one of the things that, you know, I highly recommend to young moms is get on our website and find a MOPS group that is near you. And if there isn't one near you, and we do have them spread all around the United States, if there isn't one near you, consider starting one. Because it is incredibly important to be connected with other moms that you can trust and that understand you and that you can talk to. And from our research, that's the biggest need that a mom, young mom says that she needs, is she needs friendships in her life. Young moms today are very connected on social media, more connected than they ever have been before, but they also describe themselves as having fewer, deeper friendships. And it's really important to have another mom to be able to talk about what's hard, what you're facing, what do they do when they face this with their children. And, you know, in a MOPS group, we build in mentors. We have older moms that are part of the group that kind of serve a special role, just being there. Sometimes all you need is a mom who's a little bit farther down the road than you are to come alongside you and put her arm around you and say, I know exactly how you feel, and you're going to be okay. And that is incredibly helpful. Now, if you're not in a MOPS group, I think the next best solution is to look around and make sure you're in a good church, because within your church, there are other moms who attend there who probably are struggling with the same things that you are, and they would love to talk with you as well. So it could be as simple as looking around, finding another mom who has some similar interests, and inviting her over for coffee, and reaching out and being honest and talking about your need for friendship.
Some of these fears, real mom fears, come not with the birth of a child, but maybe they're sort of deep inside, even before marriage or something. I mean, it doesn't always happen as soon as the child is born, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to write this book is I used to describe myself as a professional worrier, meaning I was really, really good at it. And you know, when I talked with other women, I found the same thing, that I think sometimes as women, we can get very, very good at worrying. And sometimes it does come from our childhood. Sometimes our moms have said to us often, be careful, you know, watch out, don't do that dangerous thing. And it kind of sets up kind of a sense of fear in our own heart. And that can carry on over into being a wife and a mom.
Good insight from Sherry Surratt, who is president and CEO of MOPS International. We're going to continue our conversation in just a moment. We'll talk a little bit about, you know, how do kids respond when mom is fearful? And are there some verses that we want to hang on to in the midst of that? And maybe get some insight as a grandmother as well. Was there a season where, maybe fear was stronger than other times? We'll get that firsthand report from a former professional worrier. So we're looking forward to that. Sherry Surratt is the president and CEO of MOPS International, and she's written this great book called Brave Mom, Facing and Overcoming Your Real Mom Fears. It's from Zondervan. We've got some copies to give away. You can sign up for one by calling us at 877-93-FAITH. Love to have you join the program, too, as well. If you have a question or a comment, or maybe there's a real mom fear, you're welcome to be anonymous, too. You can join the conversation here, and we'll get some great parenting advice and some encouragement today from Sherry. Call us at 877-933-2484. It's 877-93-FAITH. Or if you want to drop us a note, you can do that via email. If you go to our website, myfaithradio.com, click on the Connecting Faith Show page, and we can take your comment that way. And we'll talk more with Sherry Surratt in just a moment here on Connecting Faith.
So long, status quo.
Talking Brave Mom today. That's the title of a new book from Sherry Surratt, president and CEO of MOPS International. Subtitle is Facing and Overcoming Your Real Mom Fears. And, you know, I think we've all experienced some of those anxieties. And as a mom, maybe more than their fair share. And we're talking about it today. Love to have you join the conversation. It's 877-93-FAITH. And if you're a mom and you're worrying about your child's safety and health and wondering if you're a good parent and maybe it's concerns about your marriage. And I'm wondering, speaking of marriage, Sherry, is there advice for husbands that, you know, how do we encourage and support the real mom fears that our wives have?
Yeah, you know, my husband has been an incredible gift in my life. His name is Jeff, and we've been married for 32 years now. And he is just kind of a rock in my life. And not too long ago, our daughter, who is going to college and, of course, you know, is driving, and she was going to come and stay at our house that night. And I woke up in the middle of the night and hadn't heard Brittany come in. And I woke my husband up and I said, I don't think Brittany's home yet. Where is she? What are we going to do? You know, and in my head, I had visions of her, you know, wrecking her car and laying out on in a ditch somewhere, you know, and not able to get a hold of us. And my husband said these words. He said, how about if you take a vacation from your fear? And it was just good, timely words for me because it reminded me, you know what? There are times when I can't control the situation and I need to just give my thoughts a rest. You know, in that particular case, Brittany actually already was home. I just hadn't heard her come in. And so I was, of course, worrying needlessly. But, you know, I think one of the best things that husbands can do is to listen to their wife's fears. And, you know, Jeff did that for me that night after he heard me you know, share what I was worried about with Brittany. He just listened for a few minutes, put his arms around me, and then just said those comforting words. How about if you give your fear a vacation? How about if you just give it a rest? And, you know, when we go on vacation, a lot of times we remove ourselves from the day-to-day things that we worry about, and we fill our mind with other fun things. And I think there's an important concept in there. Sometimes worries do overcome our head, and we can't stop it from first coming in. But once a fear comes in, we can take control over it, and we can fill our mind purposely with other things. And my husband reminds me to do this often. You know, I love in Psalm 56, where David just admits freely that he's afraid, and he says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in you, talking about trusting in God. And that verse reminds me that there is action required on my part when fear does overcome me. But it also reminds me that God doesn't shame me for my fear. In fact, he shows me that David in the Bible dealt with fear, and I will too. But when it comes, I can choose to put my trust in God, and it's an action required on my part. When the day comes that I do feel fear stealing over me, by an act of will, I can put my trust in God. And, you know, I do have a choice when fear comes. I can lay in bed and continue to just get frantic about whether or not Brittany is home, or I can immediately turn my thoughts to the God who is bigger than me and bigger than any situation that my daughter will face.
That's a good word. That's Psalm 56:3, or is it 56:4? Remember.
It might be 4.
I think so, yes. When I'm afraid, I will trust in you, right? Something
like that. Yeah, actually, I think it's 3.
Is it?
I think it's
All right.
56:3.
It would be worth reviewing and probably putting up on your mirror and working on memorizing it a time or two. You tell the story about when your son was had the opportunity to go with a group on an overnight trip to Myrtle Beach, and you started thinking about all the horrible things that could happen, and I did really appreciate as you talk about your son said, well, I guess he could decide to take up with a rogue motorcycle gang, but isn't it more likely he'll just have fun and make new friends?
Yeah. And, you know, he's right. And he just, my husband has been the voice of reasonableness. In that particular case, we just moved to South Carolina, and my son was just entering middle school, and this was his first opportunity to go with our church youth group on a trip. And, you know, we knew that they were going to be going to the beach and, you know, kind of walking around Myrtle Beach and different things like that. And Myrtle Beach can be a little bit of a wild area, you know, with lots of tourists and different things like that. And so my mind went crazy, you know, and I thought, oh, I won't be there with him. He could drown, you know, out in the ocean. When he's walking around, he could get lost, you know. And I knew that motorcycles were very frequent. People would come in motorcycle groups through Myrtle Beach. And so, you know, I started worrying about all these things. And my husband just very matter-of-factly said, yeah, those things could happen. But isn't it even more likely that he'll find a new friend, you know, moving to this new state, and that he'll have just the time of his life? Well, my husband was exactly right. We did let Mike go on this trip, and he came home so excited, talking about all the junk food that he had eaten that day and a new friend that he met that day that then ended up being a lifetime friend for Mike. And it was just a great opportunity. And that's really where husbands can step in, listen to their wives' fears. Don't shame them for having them, but then just kind of be that calm voice of reason for us.
Well, let's talk about how do kids respond when mom is fearful? I mean, because we've all grown up with those admonitions: be careful, you know, be safe, watch out here, you know. This, I mean, that's, you know, you wouldn't be a mom if you weren't doing those things, right? But so how do kids react, what does it do to them if mom is always fearful all the time?
Yeah, you know, our kids watch us. They not only listen to us, but they watch us. And they really take their cues from us. And here's something that I found myself saying to my children every time they would be playing or they would be getting ready to go out the door. I'd say these words: be careful. And I started noticing my daughter especially really being very timid in situations and not wanting to try new things. And part of it was my prompting of be careful, because I was putting that sense of fear in her heart. And I really have really forced myself to kind of take that positive aspect, and instead of saying be careful, I replace it with have fun. You know, as a mom, it's my job to teach my children to be wise and to be safe and to make wise choices. But then I need to trust that they're going to make those wise choices. And really, do I want them to go through life with their primary objective of being careful? Or do I really want them to seize life and enjoy every moment and to step into opportunities with confidence? Well, of course, that's what I want them to do. And so I can lead the way with my words, and I have really tried to limit the times that I say to my children, even today, be careful, and I've replaced it with have fun. And that kind of reminds me, trust that I have taught them well, trust that they are intelligent kids who are going to make wise choices, and I want my children to be dangerous for God. And, you know, in my prayers, as a mom, I noticed that especially when my children were little, I was often praying like this: oh, God, keep them safe. Oh, God, keep them from harm. Keep your hand upon them. Of course, I want God to do that. But as my children began to get a little bit older and I began to think about, I want them to become all that God has designed them to be, I started changing my prayers, and I started praying for God to make them dangerous, that Satan would tremble at the sound of their voice because they are so committed to him and that they are walking in his ways and his word. I started praying for God to make them dangerous. And here's something else I started doing. I started telling my children that that's the way I was praying. When I would talk with Mike and Brittany, I would remind them often, you know what, I'm praying for you. But instead of telling them, oh, I'm going to pray for God to keep you safe, I'd say, I'm praying for God to make you dangerous, for God to open up opportunities for you that just blow you away, and that you'll have the confidence to step into those, and that God will make you dangerous in those opportunities.
Sherry, hi. This is Ted, the producer of the show here at Connecting Faith. It's an honor to have you on here today. Again, for our audience, we're talking to Sherry Surratt, the CEO of MOPS International, and her book is Brave Mom, Facing and Overcoming Your Real Mom Fears. I just wanted to ask you, my wife and I have two teen girls, ages 13 and soon to be 12 here in December. And there's that stage of adolescence where they need you so much one minute, and then they want nothing to do with you the next minute. So do you have any advice for maybe kind of even a mental state, anchor, go-to place for parents to go when the kids are doing that hot and cold thing?
Yeah, and you know, I think, you know, as your children get older, your parenting does change a little bit. When your kids are little, you are guardian. You know, you are really watching out for, you know, the things that could harm them, and you are teaching them in that way. As your children get a little bit older, your role kind of changes more to coach, because you are still right there beside them and helping them there for help. But you're also beginning to realize, instead of inserting my help as much as I did when they were little, you're kind of there with them, letting them kind of prompt the times when they do need help. And here's something else that my husband and I found very helpful as my kids got older, is we began to realize the power of other voices in our children's lives. And so we really made sure that within our church, our kids were involved in a great youth group, and that the youth leaders had opportunities to speak into our children's lives. Because here's what we realized: our kids were leaning into others even more at that time than they were to us. They needed younger leaders in their lives that they thought were cool and that were very relevant to them, and that was very important. And as I began to have confidence, you know what, there are great leaders in our church who can speak into our kids, it gave me freedom to be able to step back a little bit and just allow that to happen and let my voice be less and less and other great voices speak more and more into my kids' lives.
And just a quick follow-up to that, do you recommend parents then go to the youth leader if they know that their son or daughter is struggling maybe with a friend issue or some issue in school, you know, maybe it's a teacher-student relationship thing, or, you know, with them that they're struggling with? Is it wise for the parent to go to the youth leader and say, hey, can you talk to my son or daughter about this?
Yeah, I think it is. And I think it's my husband and I did this as well. When we were concerned about things that our kids were facing in middle school and high school, I would go to their youth pastor or their small group leader, and I would just ask questions. And I'd say, am I being unreasonable in worrying about this? What do you think? Because they were very connected to my kids. They were younger. They also had the perspective of working with lots of other teenagers as well. And so they brought great perspective in my life. And there were times when I was worried about things, and my child's, teenage daughter's small group leader said, you know what, I don't think you need to worry about that. I think they're okay. But then there were other times when they would say, yeah, that's concerning. How about if I talk with them about this? Or how about if I connect them with, you know, another person who can talk with them about that? I think that's very wise.
Thank you.
Yeah, good words today from Sherry Surratt, who's president and CEO of MOPS International. We're talking about her new book, Brave Mom, Facing and Overcoming Your Real Mom Fears. We've got some copies to give away. And if it's a topic that is of particular interest to you, we'd love to have you just join the broadcast. Give us a call. You can sign up for the book. We'll do the drawing here at the end of the hour. It's 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484. So we've talked a little bit about moms. We've talked about husbands, about kids. We're going to talk a little bit about maybe grandmother's role in helping our moms not how to face their real mom fears. We'll get to that and more in a moment. You can join the conversation. It's 877-933-2484.
You're a little piece of heaven. You're a golden ray of light. And I wish I could protect you from the worries of this life. But if there's one thing I could tell you, it's no matter what you do, hold to Jesus, he's holding on to you.
Great tune from Aaron O'Donnell, hold on to Jesus for life. Brave Mom is our topic today. We're talking about facing and overcoming your real mom fears. Sherry Surratt is the president and CEO of MOPS International. And find out all about MOPS on their website, MOPS, MOPS.org. It's Mothers of Preschoolers. And I encourage you to find a group near you if you're not plugged in. Sherry, are we talking about fear management here, or are we wanting to replace it completely? Is this just a matter of, thinking, good thoughts? I mean, there's a lot of, sort of positive thinking groups out there that say, whatever you can change the world just by thinking. So what's your perspective on that?
Yeah, your thoughts really are incredibly important. And, God kind of clues us in that we really can have a hand in controlling that. In Philippians chapter 4, it talks about we need to be thinking on positive things. We need to fill our mind with the good things. And I have found that as an incredibly powerful strategy for me. When I feel like my fear is getting the best of me, I can say, wait a minute, I'm going to choose to replace that with a positive thought. And the power of positive thinking is incredibly important in our life. And sometimes I just flat have to ask God to help me with that because my thoughts do tend to go toward the worry end. And why would I want my life to be steered by that? I want my life to be steered by positive influences. So there are go-to verses that I use when I find myself just going on the crazy mama ledge, with fear, and I replace it with just some very easy verses. I write them on cards. I put them around my house in different places. One of my very favorite verses is Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, that reminds me, God is with me wherever I go. There is no place that I will travel, that I will venture to, that will be a surprise to God, nor any place where he will not go with me. He is mighty to save me. He takes great delight in me, that verse goes on to say, and he will quiet me with his love if I will let him.
Yeah, that's a wonderful one. Isaiah 41:10, one of my favorites, fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, I'm your God. I'll help you. I'll strengthen you. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. So verses, those important words from God's word can make a difference.
They absolutely can.
Prayer as well. I know you talk about that in the book. Just say a word about how, I think you sort of touched on it, about maybe praying in a different way, but prayer, we don't have to have necessarily the set time of prayer. When we're a young mom, there's probably not a lot of time to just, when the kids are asleep, you need to be doing laundry or something.
Yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes we put each other in boxes of, you have to have a daily quiet time and it has to look like this and it has to happen at this time. I really think God is more interested in our relationship and that we are spending time with him. And for a young mom, you may have to be waking up very early with a young baby or a toddler, and so first thing in the morning may not be the best time for you to be able to spend time in God's Word and praying. I think you just have to find your own rhythm, and I think God is okay with that. I think he knows, the busy life of a young mom, and I think an important thing is don't let fear rule your prayer life. I really found myself doing that, as I mentioned before, and always praying from my fears. Oh, God, please don't let this happen. And really, that was kind of praying my worry almost. And, I sometimes picture God up in heaven, looking down and he's saying, why are you thinking so scared like that? I have a great plan for you. Believe in my great plan for you. And let's talk about that. And so I've really kind of switched my prayer life to pray positive things, to use that time to ask God to bless my kids instead of just keeping them safe. And in my time of prayer, I think we really need to get real with God. And if we're worried, if we're scared, let's just admit it. God already knows. And sometimes I'll just say, God, I feel overcome with worry today. Just transform my mind. Give me some positive things from your word and your Holy Spirit to help me focus on so that I can get my mind off of this worry. Prayer is an incredibly powerful tool God listens to us when we pray. And when we pray, we are connecting with him. And that's a powerful thing.
Let's take a call. We'll go to line three. Stephanie is calling, listening on Faith 1270 in South Dakota. Stephanie, you're on with Sherry Surratt. Go ahead.
Hi. Yes, I just had a question. I have four young kids. They're all under eight, and three girls in a row, and then a little boy. And just seems that lately we've had a lot of violent yelling and screaming and hair pulling and hashing it out in a very non-civil way, I guess you would say. And I kind of feel like everything that we've tried, my husband and I have tried, doesn't seem to stop them from continually being mean to each other.
Yeah.
And I'd like to know what I could do to get that respect back for each other. I feel like they don't respect each other. I know, I'm sure it's because they're young, but it weighs heavy on my heart.
Yeah, and Stephanie, I just hearing your voice, just that kind of fear and worry about your kids right now and the way that they are treating each other. And first of all, I want to say you are not alone. And, you know, having four children under the age of eight, there is going to be bickering. There is going to be disagreements and crabbiness and things like that. And just to reassure you, probably every other mom that is listening right now that has children in the age range is saying these words, me too. We're dealing with that too. And so I just first of all want to say what you're describing is not, doesn't sound unusual. But of course, as a mom, you want your children to love each other. You want them to enjoy each other, and you want peace in your family. And I think, you know, one of the things that my husband and I found helpful when our kids were just really, really bickering, is try to introduce some humor from you. And I think just a moment of silliness and laughter can help in those moments that are just incredibly stressful. And sometimes time away from each other, so making sure that each one of them have some moments away where they can have some quiet moments and be separated from each other can help as well. For me, I don't know if it's the same for you, but times in the car were stressful. And so sometimes I would kind of change our schedule a little bit to allow us as a family to not have to spend extended times in the car, but to make sure that there were moments when they could have moments alone in their room to have some quiet moments. But then we also took those moments as the fights and the hateful words that they would say to each other just as a teaching moment. And we would talk about, you know what, we're Surratts. And as Surratts, we don't want to use those words with each other. We don't talk to other people like that, and we're not going to talk to each other like that. So we would kind of seize those teaching moments. But I think more often than not, we would also try to use humor. My husband loves jokes, and so sometimes he would just not address immediately the hateful thing that was going on, but just kind of take a moment to introduce some humor and give everybody a chance to laugh, and then we would address the situation.
Sure.
Stephanie, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, Stephanie, thank you for your call, and we hear what you're going through, and maybe just to share, we only have about 90 seconds left, and I'm wondering if, you know, there's lots of moms who kind of addressed it, that you just feel like, well, you know, I'm failing as a parent somehow. What's your word of encouragement to moms today who are just feeling like I'm not measuring up?
Yeah. And, you know, again, I hear that from moms all over, that so many times they feel like a failure. And here's really, I think what God wants us to hear as moms is we are not moms on accident. And God gave us our children on purpose because we are the right mom for our kids. While we will never be the perfect mom, there is no such thing. We are the perfect mom for our children because God placed them in our home. And really, we need to remind ourselves who God has designed us to be. And we need to lean on Him and call out to Him for help. But then at the end of the day, we need to realize we are never going to do things perfectly, and that's okay. And we will love our children the very, very best that we can, just the way that God loves us.
Oh, great hour. We could talk more because there's lots of sort of mom fears that we haven't gotten to, Sherry. But I guess we'll have to just fear not, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not a very good strategy. That, you know, my worry strategy seems like it's working so well for me. But we can try something new. I guess that's all right. I'm open to change. So. Sherry, thank you for your good insight today. Sherry Surratt is the president and CEO of MOPS International, written this great book, Brave Mom, Facing and Overcoming Your Real Mom Fears. It's from Zondervan. And you can find out more about the book and about the great work in MOPS by going to their website at mops.org, M-O-P-S.org. If you missed part of the show today, you can always check out the podcast online by going to myfaithradio.com. We'll have a link to MOPS there as well. Thank you for listening.